Later.
Thank you for staying with KHSU on your Tuesday, the 13th of June. I'm Wendy Butler, and this program is called Art Waves. Two interviews today. Later in the program, Summer Solstice Brass. A sampler of types of brass music will be performed at Humboldt Botanical Garden on Sunday. My guests are the director of these ensembles, Gil Klein, and ensemble member and HSU senior, Ryan Blake. First today, Dell'Arte's 27th annual Mad River Festival begins this Thursday, June 15th, with the world premiere of the State of Jefferson Picnic. This land is your land, but mostly my land. Performed by the Dell'Arte Company and directed by Michael Fields. My guests are company members and recent Dell'Arte MFA graduates, Pratik Motwani and Tushar Mathew, both from India, and Zafi Dimitropoulou from Greece. These actors' birthplaces are important to the plot of this play, although their characters are differently named. Pratik begins our conversation about the play.
The general storyline of the show is that there is an American family, the McBurn family, that celebrates the 4th of July every day at this particular camping site.
Every year.
Every year. At this particular camping. So we'll be performing it every day. So Thursday through Sunday.
And continue. Every year they're at a particular...
Every year they are at this particular campground where they celebrate the 4th of July. And this year there are many more people other than them. So they have to negotiate the space. The McBurn.
The McBurn
family.
Are you playing one of the McBurn family?
Well, I would have to talk in an American accent then. No, I'm not. Tushar and I are playing two brothers from India.
Yep.
Who also have come to the campsite for a particular reason.
Yes.
Is this a reason that we don't want to disclose right now?
Yes.
Okay.
So yes, but it's a very important reason. We are here for specific important reasons, maybe almost as important as the McBurns.
I'm assuming not nefarious reasons?
No. Pure reasons.
Well, we know that, and anybody can read into this as we're discussing this, you know, we're thinking, okay, this is the United States and others who are not necessarily the McBurns are wanting to come in and share our picnic ground. So I think we can all understand this is a huge topic that is going on here in the United States as well as other countries.
Yep.
And so let's talk more about the way that you're putting this together, the creation aspect. What kind of research did you do or discussions among yourselves or with others? Zafi?
Well, you know, Dell'Arte, the way they create the company as well, not only the school, is always based on ensemble work. This specific time, though, there is a specific team of the ensemble that they work on the script, they do the research, and they do have a, you know, printed script that says what the character would say. But when we go on stage, when we start rehearsing, it's also up to us to add things and... Yeah, make it our own, and so we all together collaborate in order for the final product to be produced and deliver the message that we want to deliver through the storyline. Mm-hmm. So in this specific case, this is how it happened. There is a very strong team of people that they came together first before we were invited into the room, and they did the research, you know, about the history of State of Jefferson and... about the different people that they will visit this campground. They did the character build up, build up of the characters. And then when we arrived, each of us, we contribute by doing our personal researches according to what character we were assigned to.
Now, this team did not involve the three of you. Was it a team? Was it just Michael Fields?
So it was Michael. The script is written by, it's collaboratively written by four or five people. That includes Michael Fields, Jamie Van Camp, who also was doing a lot of research on the state of Jefferson, Zuzka Sabata, and Janessa Johns-Rood. So all of them have together written this script. And then there's music by Jeff Kelly, who's part of the band, and other folks from the band who have written music for it, including Zuzka. So
now, is the state of Jefferson, of course, is a real phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the people who are, well, I'm sure that you've had discussions as you're putting together your characters. So let's talk a little bit about the state of Jefferson and what you know about the state of Jefferson and how you are incorporating that into your characters.
Well, the three of us are playing outsiders. So our characters have little to no idea about the state of Jefferson. We come in with our intentions of being in this campground, wanting to fulfill our reasons of being there. The McBurns come there to celebrate the 4th of July every year and are well acquainted with the state of Jefferson and what it means to them. But we are coming with little to no idea about this phenomenon. And it's something that we are introduced to as the play goes on.
What are they telling you that the state of Jefferson is?
We don't explicitly hear that, you know, this is the state of Jefferson. It's more about what the tagline of the play is. This land is your land, but mostly my land. And that message kind of reverberates throughout this show and gets, you know, drilled into us over and over again until it becomes a point of contention between all the players on stage.
There is a hint in the beginning, in the introduction of the McBurn family when they first arrive at this place to start their 4th of July celebration, and they talk about the history of the McBurn family going generations back, wanting to, believing in the state of Jefferson proposal of separating and making a new whole state. And so there is a little bit of that hint in the beginning. But when they interact with the new people arriving in this place, they don't explicitly, as Tussar said, explain to them about the state of Jefferson. But in them, their drive is also influenced by that, by the fact that the whole family has always believed, or at least the head of the family, mm-hmm. the father of the McBurn, of the McBurn family, always believed in that dream, that phenomenon.
And as the plot unfolds, the situation becomes very synonymous to the state of Jefferson. So it's not explicitly stated, but it becomes, you'll see the connection.
Now, the three of you are not playing members of one family. You are playing members of one family.
No.
They are brothers.
They are brothers.
Pratik and Tushar. And I arrive with my partner, that he's also from another country. He's from Zimbabwe. And we also have our own reason mm-hmm. that we want to, which is very important for us, that we want to spend time there in that campground.
Now, you're arriving from places that you literally are from, but your characters are not, in other words, your character's not named Zafi.
No, it's all not.
Right. What is your character's name?
Anemone.
Anemone.
Mm-hmm.
And Tushar, yours?
Mine. I play an Indian man who was assimilated into America. So my name is Brad.
No, it's Badrinath, actually, because I'm his brother. And I know that he was born and we named him Badrinath, which is such a beautiful name. And he has changed it to Brad after coming to America.
Okay, but that's okay because my name in Greek is Anemone and all Americans want to call me Anemone. And I'm okay with that.
Anonymous?
No, it's anemone.
Anemone.
Say it right. Anemone.
Alimony.
Alimony.
Yeah, so my name is Brad.
And my name is Bumfall.
Bumfall.
Yes. Bumfall. And I am not from the United States. I come from India. I have come particularly for this reason.
For the reason that we will not disclose.
That we will not disclose.
But it will probably be funny. Perhaps not.
No,
yeah, it is serious. I find it very
it's funny
important.
And poignant.
It's serious for us, but it might be funny for you.
Yeah.
And you know, you think when you talk about the state of Jefferson, the idea of wanting to break off and start your own. I'm thinking, well, are you welcomed by the McBurn family?
Not all members of the MacBook.
Not all members, yeah.
Yes.
Some welcome you. Because I'm thinking that you might, in the end, want to go and start your own country, wow. your own land, because yeah. you're not welcomed in this one.
It's like you're reading a script.
So do you also sing?
Yes.
We do, yeah.
You do. There are some songs that, yes. that you sing. Are they songs that you had a part in writing or somebody else wrote?
Both.
Both. Yeah. There are some songs that are specific to where we come from or our cultures in respect to this situation of the campground and different characters coming from different places. And then there are the other songs are written by the band.
Yeah, and there's some really beautiful songs, especially we have a song in the end that was written by Jeff Kelly that's, you know, the perfect protest sound song. And it's a really, really beautiful song. So there's some real gems to look out for in that department.
Yeah, it's very relevant to the Humboldt County. I think also many, many text is, you understand that it's happening here in this area. It's not from some other world or...
Oh, well, and that's each time a main stage production is done for the Mad River Festival, it always emphasizes something having to do with where we live.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
So I don't want to forget to talk about Embedded, Pratik.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about Embedded, which is your one-person show. You create yes. and performed it. And so I wrote several responses to the paragraph of information that was sent to me. Mm-hmm. I wrote, what is reality? I wrote, what is connection? I wrote, basically, what, you know, what is involved in the piece? Do you sing? Do you simply move? Do you talk to us? So as briefly as possible, you know, we can't spend too much time on it, unfortunately. What inspired you to create this piece and... What are you exploring?
Okay. So firstly, Mad Lab is like a space in the festival where staff and faculty do new works that are in progress. So I am still questioning a lot of things that are written in there. But the inspiration to do it is to do with a social media identity and how that what we project is different from who we are. And that there are two worlds that we live in these days. One is the virtual world and one is the real world in terms of marketing, in terms of presenting a mask to the world. So it questions through that lens, it questions things about identity, things about who we are, things about connection, what is real connection, and basic things about our basic needs of wanting to connect, of being liked, quote unquote, liked.
the thumbs up. Or the thumbs down.
Yeah. So that's what it's exploring.
Well, let me ask the three of you this then. In terms of social media in your lives, are the three of you, I'm going to start down here with Tushar. Do you have social media accounts? I mean, is social media then a big part of your life?
I think it is. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. But I'm also very aware of the amount of time I spend on it. And I think it's been a conversation I've been having with myself and my friends about the role social media plays in our lives and how much time we spend on it and how much time we need to spend away from it. So yes, I do use it pretty frequently to put out my work, to engage with friends, to put out videos that I agree with or, you know, feel strongly about.
How about you, Zafi?
I do. I similarly to Tushar, I try to be very cautious about not overusing any of these apps, but also just being an international living in the U.S., it really helps me stay in touch with people back home or in other places that I've lived before. And I have to say that it also, I can see how it has many good aspects in it, as in people getting very political through social media, which is really good, and not isolating ourselves and denying the fact that it is a reality that exists in our worlds and thus gives voice for ideas to be expressed.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Pratik?
I do, yeah. On all those forums, I have an account, and that's primarily how I keep in touch with my friends and family. Back home, we FaceTime all the time. We Facebook each other. We send photographs to each other. So that's the positive side. But it's very intriguing, the other side to me, of what we project, because I'm guilty of that too. You know, we project the good parts of our life on social media. And I know consciously when I'm doing that, that that is to let people know that, look what I've done. You know, so there's a really weird aspect about that that I'm trying to explore in the show.
Pratik Matwani, also Zafi Dimitropoulou, and Tushar Matthew, Delarte Company members. The State of Jefferson Picnic, This Land is Your Land, But Mostly My Land, opens the 27th annual Delarte Mad River Festival with performances this Thursday, June 15th through Sunday, June 18th at 8 p.m. at the Rooney Amphitheater at Delarte in Blue Lake. And the play continues through June 30th and with final performances July 1st and 2nd. But, of course, that's just part of the Mad River Festival, which goes through July 15th. There's also a Big Top Family Series, Late Night Cabarets, and Pratik Matwani's Embedded is part of Mad Lab 2, June 28th at 8 p.m. at the Carlo Theater. The Mad River Festival also includes the Humboldt Folklife Festival, July 10th through the 15th. For more information on all the festival events and for tickets, you can phone 668-5663, or you can get them from the Delarte box office during normal business hours. And you can also visit delarte.com. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. Up next, Summer Solstice Brass, courtesy of HSU music professor Gil Klein, who directs several brass ensembles. And part of these is his student, Ryan Blake. And both are in the studio. Brass is in force for a Summer Solstice Brass Concert this Sunday, June 18th, noon to 2 p.m. at the Humboldt Botanical Garden, adjacent to College of the Redwoods. We'll talk about this during the interview. We begin with what Gil usually comes armed with when he visits: unusual brass and brass-sounding instruments. Gil, the very first excerpt that you performed, please tell what you performed it on, what it was.
You bet. Hey, that was my favorite steer horn. That's about a 14-inch steer horn, and I think I just titled that one Saturday Steer Horn Samba. Now, that was extemporaneous, of course, ad lib, just a kind of groove.
And the second one?
The second one was on my beautiful Triton shell, South Pacific Island sort of shell, which has got a great sound. That horn has been heard in, well, my favorite example is one of the Mutiny on the Bounty movies. Can't remember who starred in that one, Clark Gable maybe. And it's a great seashell sound. So that one was a little bit slower. And Ryan was laying down a mouthpiece on steer horn percussion bed. So that one's called Triton Tipsy Topsy.
There you go.
And so, yet you were actually playing on a seashell. That was a seashell or a conch.
Most people, you know, think it's a conch or a conch, spelled conch. But this one's actually Tritonus. I can't remember the exact Latin name. It's a distinctive shell, which has been used in formal music in a lot of South Pacific, Southwestern Pacific cultures, from the temperate islands up to even Japan. It's a really beautiful shell. If you could see it, believe me, it's beautiful.
And the third one, nobody's going to appreciate this unless they actually saw this take place, because basically what Gil was doing is he was standing next to me, but over my head he was twirling what looked like to be some kind of a tube. And then across the room, Ryan was also twirling a tube. So correct me on what it was you were doing.
That's exactly what we're doing. We had a trumpet mouthpiece inserted into those tubes. They're 7-foot-long pieces of clear vinyl tubing. And I've done this for 30 years or so. I call it the helicopter trumpet.
So these things that you demonstrated today, you're going to be doing that. You're going to be doing that with the shell. You'll be doing that with the tubes on Sunday.
Oh, heck yeah. Mm-hmm. We love doing that kind of stuff.
And this seems like a departure for what you normally do far as the instruments you use in these concerts.
Well, very good, Wendy. So it's just that you haven't seen these things. I've used these things for decades in all my classes, my brass classes at school, and it's not often the case that we get a chance to use these in a concert. The concert at CR, the Botanical Gardens, is more kind of like a potpourri. If you think about the gardens themselves, there's all kinds of plants around. So I figure that it's the time to bring these things out. This is not a formal concert. We'll have a chance to have some fun with these things. And, of course, seashells and animal horns are historic. The history of brass instruments in terms of signaling, whether it's ancient cultures, you know, from around the world, whether it's military or just you know, like in Star Wars, the movie with the Ewoks.
Yeah,
they're dancing around with the steer horn, right, in the top of the redwoods.
That's how I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we'll be treated to that on Sunday. What else would you like to highlight that you all are doing on Sunday? Perhaps Ryan can step in and help out with this part.
Oh, we'll just be playing some music from trumpet concert Von Humboldt. A couple of pieces we'll be playing would be the Dauvernay Quartet. And then to accentuate that a little bit, Gil and Chris Cox will be doing a nice little duo. And it's really beautiful and nice.
Are you going to be, Ryan, playing any solos? Or
With our trumpets from way back when, we do solo parts, but that's more of we'll do a song low rider or with Clock Talk, we'll have solo sections, but we're more like a choir in that way, where it's almost one instrument, even just divided into many parts.
And I know, Ryan, you are going, for your very first time, you're going with, you're a member of trumpet consort Von Humboldt, but you're going to be going for your very first time to perform at the Historic Brass Symposium in New York City at the Metropolitan Museum.
Right.
And so, Gil, your ensemble is going in July, and your performance will be on Friday, July 14th at 5:30. Mm-hmm. What is the Historic Brass Symposium?
Well, it's, you know, one of those little organizations which is out there. It's not necessarily world famous, but it is it's pretty geeky when you consider the thing. It is there's probably 400 or 500 members worldwide, and probably about 150 to 200 will be in attendance. It's only the third symposium. This is the effort they make to bring in top scholars to give formal papers, as you would at a conference, but also the scholars oftentimes are leading performers, those that have done sterling work on a lot of recordings involving trumpet and horn. The culture of this in the music world is that they're not always so famous as the conductor or as a vocal soloist or a pianist. Brass players are considered to be more blue-collar kind of people. We're sometimes in the background. But once in a while, those people will become a famous soloist in their own right, highly sought after, well-paid. And when you hear famous recordings by Bach or Handel or Telemann or so forth on the radio, you're hearing some of the people that are our heroes and the people that we emulate and follow in terms of cutting edge of how to play these instruments. Ryan can talk to, well, you know, since Ryan's one of my students here and also a good member of a group and really devoting himself to sounding good on this old instrument, what do you think about the stuff that I have you do in rehearsals and week after week?
I like it because it instills sort of a historic presence in what we're doing. And so I feel the need to kind of take it a little more serious. And not that I don't take anything else more serious, but I try to apply myself in the context in which these people were playing. And I always think, like, I'm in a royal court. I have to play music for a dinner party. Here we go. Things like that nature.
Now, trumpet is your main instrument, and I'm assuming you found the trumpet before you found Gil Klein.
Oh, yeah.
So what has interested you in making the trumpet your main instrument? Why the trumpet?
The obvious answer for me would be just the sound that it brings to an ensemble itself. It kind of cuts above everything else and really embodies, like, not strength or macho-ness, but more like a reinforcing tone that kind of pulls it all together in a way that really sounds beautiful to me. I have a very specific ear for trumpet itself, and it's very nice to and pleasing to me, and I push myself to get a beautiful sound every time I play.
Ryan Blake with Gil Klein. Summer Solstice Brass. It's a diversity in brass concerts. Like with the ensemble you're listening to, Humboldt Bay Brass Band. The concert is this Sunday, June 18th, noon to 2 p.m. at the Humboldt Botanical Garden, adjacent to College of the Redwoods, with parking at the north entrance to the college. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves, produced for KHSU at Humboldt State University. Three ways to listen to Art Waves. Regular broadcast at 1:30 p.m. Tuesdays. Online anytime at khsu.org. Or download podcasts from iTunes. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Gil Evans was one of the great artists of the 20th century and of all time. If you dig modern jazz, tune in to Gone Sides, Tuesday starting at 8 p.m. I'm your host, Darius Brotman. That's 8 o'clock on Tuesdays on KHSU, your jazz station.
Electrodes were attached to their arms, chest, their heart.
Radiolab, it's not just for your ears.
Your torso will stay alive.
Yep, it's a full body experience.
And it just gripped me.
You're suspended.
Oh my God.
Kick it.
Puts all these feathers on his body and climbs up to the top of a mountain.
The smell doesn't bother you guys?
What smell?
Tuesday evenings, beginning at 7, here on KHSU.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the newest, the greatest, the most spectacular show in entertainment history.
What happened?
Put your hands together for the fabulous
Los Ensemble Economique with DJ Rat Race and Jacob Sweden. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight on KHSU.
What have you prepared for me tonight?
Every day, people from all walks of life square their shoulders and shake up the world. NPR's All Things Considered tries to capture some of that magic.
Dating with Tourette's is really not as big of a deal as somebody could potentially think it might be. Everybody has some baggage.
All Things Considered from NPR News. Listen later today.
Tonight at 5 on KHSU.
Listener-supported diverse public radio for the North Coast of California and the South Coast of Oregon. This is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Support for KHSU comes from Wildberries Marketplace, featuring the Wild Petal Floral Department, where Karen makes floral creations every day because she believes that a world without flowers is like a palette without paint. Wildberries Marketplace is open every day from 6 a.m. to midnight. Further support comes from Six Rivers Optical, offering a large selection of